Being in prayer. Let us pray and get started. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood that he shed on the cross. We thank you for the finished work, Father. We thank you for this grace. We give you glory and honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. As we continue from where we left off last week, in last class that we was on, I think we started off at, we ended up with, we are unpunishable. That was the last thing that we said, the last thing that we, statement that we made. And one of the things that we said in last class is that we talked about sin and punishment. And one of the things in, on the punishment, one of the things that we were talking about was making sure that ownership is taking place. So we said that ownership, the person who committed sin, should take ownership of that situation. And the third part is, second part was that we should give them a place to come, a safe haven that they could come. And the church is the place that when someone committed sin, that they should have someone, some place to come that they can deliver themselves out of. I'll be giving you a couple of scriptures that we need you to go back and rehash and look over again. Turn to 2 Timothy. Then we get into our lesson for tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning at verse 24, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And it says that, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure would give them repentance through the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And so what we're saying, as we were saying this scripture, we have given them a place, a safe haven, that they could come. And we are to help them to recover themselves. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Looking at verse 1, Galatians chapter 6. Looking at verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest thou also be tempted. And verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I said last week we are unpunishable. Through the cross, Jesus introduced something into the world that we still don't understand. And when I say that, we begin to look at some scriptures over in Romans chapter 1, looking at verse 8. It says that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Our apostle said we should stop there because the rest of it was added by the interpreters. They added some things there. But we're going to read, go over to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at that full scripture. Beginning at verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now, right now, we're talking about the present time, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And walking after the flesh means that you're trying to do it yourself. Human effort. That's when we say walking after the flesh, that means that's something that you were trying to do yourself by keeping the law, by keeping the commandments, the old covenant. And so it says there is no condemnation to those who, which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's a new law we're talking about. For the Spirit, law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after our own efforts, after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so, Ethan, if the law, everyone was trying to be righteous through the law. They could not do it. So God sent Jesus into the world that He could take over the punishment. Everything that sin was due, we were justified by what Jesus did on the cross. Every sin that man committed was nailed to that cross. And Jesus took it Himself. What God found out is that man could not follow the law. And because he could not follow the law, he had to bring in a new covenant. And when he brought in the new covenant, it was through his Son, Jesus, and that we could be justified and reconciled back to God, like Adam and Eve was in the original setting, as Adam and Eve was before they committed high treason and gave it all away. And so that's the whole purpose. That's the whole thing that God was trying to do, get man back into good standing, right standing with Him, so we could come into His presence and He could bless us like He wanted to. He has made each and every one of us unpunishable. Sin does not need to be punished. That has already been bought and paid for. Turn to Romans chapter 6. You're in Romans right there. Turn back and look at verse 6. Chapter 6, I begin reading. I like to read a little bit, so let's read it. I begin reading at verse 4. It says, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we would have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's verse 6. And when I got to that part, one of the things that the Spirit of God said is, you go over and you look at Galatians 2 and 20, and the Scripture reads that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not we, but Christ liveth in us. And it's like we now live in the flesh. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. He gave it that on the cross. He gave it for our sins. He gave it for our sickness and our diseases. He gave Himself for our lack and poverty. And He also gave it for that second death, that we can have eternal life. We have to keep that forever in front of us. Everything, and over in John 19, they say it is finished. Everything that God is going to do for us, He has already did it through Jesus Christ. And the only thing that we have to do is believe and receive it. Believe it and receive it. And once we believe and receive that, it's just like if you don't believe, it's just like not following the law. Those do's and don'ts that's in the law, when God redid this covenant through Jesus Christ, He said the only thing that you have to do is believe and receive what He did through Jesus Christ, His Son. Let's read a little bit further. He says that in verse 7, He said, for he that is dead is freed from sin. He that is dead. So if we've been crucified with Him, we are free from sin. So if we're free from sin, that means we are unpunishable. He says, now that we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing this, knowing that Christ being
raised from the dead, died no more, death has no more dominion over him. But in that he died unto sin once. And so he died to sin once. And when we make a statement, when the apostle makes a statement, that when Jesus took our sins, he took all of our sins, he took our past sins, our present sins, and also our future sins. He died once. Once for sin and forever. He took care of the sin issue. But likewise, let also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So through him, it's in him that we live, we move, and we have our being. It's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. It's what he did for us. And so once we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, then what was due him, what was due us, God put it on him. What was due him, God gave it to us. He gave us his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We go back and we can see that scripture. It says, he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ Jesus. So when God looks at me now, he don't look at me. He looks at Jesus. He looks at me through Jesus. He's looking at Jesus and what he did for me on the cross. He's not looking at my sins. He's not looking at my iniquities, but he's looking at what Jesus has already paid for. He's looking at my righteousness because I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ on me. I have this righteousness. It says, verse 12, let my sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust of it. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so, again, I have to keep quoting my apostle because he's ministering, he's changing doctrine, he's correcting some things in the church. And one of the things that we've always used, and I taught it last year in this same class, and I said when a person commits a sin, then they come back to God and use 1 John 1:9, and they say if he confesses your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He said at that time God was not talking to, the Apostle Paul was not talking to Christians. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ. He was talking to Gnostics, those people who believe there's a God, but they didn't believe that Jesus was rose from the dead and that he was resurrected. So he was talking to a different class of people here. And so we're correcting that in the church, that doctrine, that now when we fall into error, what we are now doing is confessing our righteousness. And what we're saying that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be confessing. That's what we confess, and not our sins. Amen? Does not need to be controlled. We saw that in Romans, but it does not have any power. It has no dominion over us. It has no power. It has no force. And all we have to do is believe. We just have to believe that. That it does not have, it has no more dominion over you. It doesn't reign in you anymore. It's easy to preach, but it's another thing living this life. And so we have to believe. We have to believe what God said when he said, I put all your sins on him at the cross. And when I did it, everything that was against you has been taken care of. Amen? How do we deal with sin after the cross? Let's turn to 1 John 2. So how we deal with it. I know we're still struggling with that issue. We don't have enough information, but the Holy Ghost, again, is going to have to reveal it to you. He's going to have to show it to you. You're going to have to be able to see it. We are partakers of God's divine nature through his knowledge that we have of him. And so as he reveals it to us, then we can begin to see it. In 1 John 2, looking at verse 1, He said, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus, an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So what am I saying here? It says that, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we have the, he's our lawyer. He becomes our lawyer. And so when something happens, what he's doing, he's sitting on the right hand of God right now, and he's interceding on our behalf. He's our mediator. He's sitting between man and God. And so he's already saying, when a sin comes up or when something comes up, he makes a statement, that has already been paid for. That sin has been covered. He's sitting there, nobody can throw that back in your face. Nobody can blame you for it. It's already been taken care of. I took it from you on the cross, and it has already been paid. It has been atoned for. You have been set right back at one with God through what Jesus did on the cross. We have a best lawyer in town, meaning we are going to get out of any situation that we get into. Remember 8:1, Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation. And so we cannot go around. We know we're not condemned because of what Jesus has already did. There is no condemnation. Jesus has already provided for the things that come against him. Jesus is right there with us at every moment to help enforce the victory. He's there to help enforce the victory. After this, making this point, the Apostle John, this is over in John, he goes explaining that because of the cross, our life is no longer about trying not to sin. He says that, let me read verse 2. He said, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And verse 3 says, and hereby we know that, we know him, and we keep his commandment. And the only commandment that he gave us is a commandment of love. If we go over in John 13, let's go to John chapter 13. Remember before we had all those commandments? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt have no other gods before you. Look at John chapter 13 and looking at verse 34. Again, all this falls under the same, on this culture of honor and this category that we are unpunishable. Here in John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. As we begin to study and we begin to see the grace of God, and he begins to, following it closely, the gospel of grace. And as you read scripture, as you go in and begin to see scripture, everywhere you look, you can see God's grace in manifestation. You go in the Old Testament and you read scripture, you see grace there. You go in the New Testament and God is showing forth his grace. I began to read some of the gospels. I went over in Matthew and turned over in Matthew chapter 18. And as we see it and we begin to minister this thing, God begin to reveal more and more to you about this grace. And we have seen it before, we've seen these scriptures before, but now God has begun to shed light on them, and we can see them better. Amen? So here in Matthew chapter 18, I'll just read beginning at verse 18. Matthew 18:18, it said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Again, that's that heaven to earth paradigm that we're looking at. We have to remember that we're setting up God's government, making sure that what God says here is going on in the earth just like it is in heaven. Again, I say unto you, verse 19, that if still you shall bring on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for my Father, which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. This is what I want you to see. I want you to not miss it. It says, then Peter, who was always curious and always asked those questions, always wanted to know something, then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" Peter said, "Till seven times seven." Jesus said unto him, "I say unto thee, until seven times seven, but until 70 times seven." And what he's saying is that as often as he do it, it's just the eternity. See, it can go on and on and on. So sin, God said, Jesus, I don't condemn people for sin, but sin has already been paid well. It's already paid. It's already covered. I took care of that issue. And so, like I said, as I go through the scriptures and you begin to read, you begin to see God's grace in this. Remember, last week I gave you that scripture in Ephesians 8. It would say that we are saved by grace through faith. It is not about ourselves, but it is a gift of God. And since it is a gift of God, there's nothing that you can do to earn it. There's no amount of scriptures that you can read to earn it. There's no amount of meditation that you can do to earn it. God said, it is a free gift. And the only thing that you have to do is receive, believe and receive it. Turn to Romans chapter 5. I have to incorporate grace into this, because that's part of that's the gospel of grace as it is being ministered and as the church is being doctrine is being changed in the church. Turn to Romans chapter 5. I begin reading at verse 10. Okay, go back up one more verse. Verse 9. It said, "Much more than being now justified by his blood," being justified, that means sin has been taken care of. We have been justified. We are free of sin. "By his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him," through Jesus. So if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That's what I mean before we was even saved. When Jesus, God said, for God, John 3:16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so he's saying that the thing is, the only thing they have to do now is believe. If it goes on to say that, "And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." We have received, we already got that atonement. We already are at one with God. We are back, and God has satisfied the punishment issue. And since we have satisfied the punishment, we are back in right standing with the Father through Jesus Christ. He looked at us. And so everything that God, all the blessings that God has for us has been already provided for us through Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, "Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," that was Adam, where it was sin entered into the world through Adam. It goes on to say, "And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So because of what Adam did, death passed up on all men, everybody. So everybody received the punishment because of what Adam did. And it says, for unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So if God, before the law came, sin was still in the world, but it was not imputed because there was no law. Sin was still in the world. It says, it goes on to say, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So you recall first Adam, we call Jesus our second Adam. So Jesus was to come and atone for what the first Adam did. He said, but not as the offense. He said, so also is the free gift. See, the free gift is the grace gift. It says, for if through the offense of many, or one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abound to many. And so because of what he did, we receive this grace, this free gift that God gave to all men who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And not as, verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So it's the free gift, it's gift of grace that God has provided for all who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's a free gift. And you are now justified. You have been, all your sins have been atoned for. You have been redeemed from every curse that was part of the law. You're back in right standing with the Father. You can go into his presence without any sense of condemnation, because Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. So we're not condemned because of sins, past, present, or future sins. And he goes on, verse 19, and says that, 16 again, let me read it. It says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17 says, for if by one man's offense, which is Adam, is a death reign. So we're no longer under the law of sin and death. It's a death reign by one. Much more, they which receive, see that now is, in order for us to receive, we have to believe it. And so so it says, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So in Jesus Christ, through his name, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:21. We know we are righteous in Christ Jesus. So we can say, if we confess our righteousness, we are righteous in Christ Jesus. Not our righteousness, but what he did. God made him to be sin for me, that I may be made the righteous of God in him. I'm in him. And since I'm in him, then I have his righteousness. So I can walk around in his righteousness. Again, let me see that again. So if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness to reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I tell you what, let's make that our meditation scripture for this week. That's an awesome scripture that we want to begin to see it and understand it. Last week we took the Ephesians 2:8, so we add Ephesians 2:8, now we take Romans 5:17, and we make that a part of our meditation scripture for this week. Verse 18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon to all men unto justification of life. That means I've been justified. That means my sins have been paid for. That means I cannot be punished again for sin. Because if they try to punish me again for sin, it calls the law of double jeopardy. So I cannot be punished again for sin. So all of them have been taken care of. Amen? Jesus satisfied the wrath of God towards sin. His life on the cross became a perfect sacrifice. He ended an insatiable condition. He ended an insatiable condition. That was man. Man could not save himself. He followed the law. The law of Moses is a law that was given up on Mount Sinai. And we're going to find out that we are not under that law anymore. We're not under the old covenant. And the reason the church is having so many problems today is we're trying to live in two separate covenants. We're trying to live in the old covenant and trying to live under the gospel of grace. And so because of that, we have a mix. You can't mix the two. We're going to see where God told us to throw out the old covenant, and we're going to see an analogy there. And with Hagar, when he told her to put out the slave and bring in the free woman. And so we're going to see that, how he told us to put it out. So we're not supposed to be living under the law. We're supposed to be living under grace. Let's turn to Hebrews. You say, well, let me put that in scripture, Brother John. But let me see if I can find it for you. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Let's read some. I got some time, so we'll just read some scripture here. See, in Hebrews chapter 8, looking at verse 1. It says, now the things which you have spoken, this is the Son. We have such a high priest. Jesus is our high priest. He is sitting on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. We know that. He's sitting on the right hand of Jesus, we're talking about. And minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched. And not man. But every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice. Remember the high priest in the old covenant? What they would do, they would take the sin offerings first for himself. He would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would go in and he would offer sin offerings, a blood of lambs and goats and sheep and wool, or whatever. And he would go into it, and if he didn't go in right, you know, he had that bell tied around with that string on him. And if he didn't go in right, he would drop dead right in the Holy of Holies. So when the bell started ringing, they would take him in and pull him out and drag him out. That was the high priest. He would go in with the sin for the sins of the people. And so he would also, same way, offer up sacrifices. Here we go on to say, for if we were on earth, if he were on earth, talking about Jesus, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, according to the law. And so, there we go again. We have to get out of the law and get back into the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, a new law. It says, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, the God shall make all things according to the pattern so to be in the mount. So God said, you have to do it the way I set it up. I give you a pattern. If you don't do it the way I tell you to do it, it's not going to work out because I have a reason for doing what I do. And so if it's not exactly the way I set it up, when we went through God's government, his government was going to be on his shoulder. And he said, built up on a foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. All these things God is saying, I'm realigning this thing back in the earth realm. So those things that you see happen in Scripture, in the Bible, can come to pass in your life, in your everyday life. We as believers, we read Scripture, we see all these supernatural things happening in Scripture. We see people, you see Scripture like 1 John 5:14. It makes statements like, and this is the confidence I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. If I know he hears me, then I can find the petition that I ask from him. If I say that, then the thing, if I ask him for something, and if it's according to his will, and if I know that he hears me, then those things I'm asking him for, then I should be able to receive it. I'm saying, why is it that I'm not receiving those things? The pattern is not right. We don't have the government right. We're not doing it according to the way God asks us to do it. Once we get it right, then God says, then I begin to show, begin to manifest myself. Then I begin to confirm my word with signs following. That's the way Jesus went. Jesus, our signs, he always shows signs following his word and what he preached. Let's go on and read some more in this. It says that, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. They are Jesus himself. He's the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Better covenant with better promises. You see it here in the Word. For if that first covenant had been faultless, if that first covenant, that was a covenant on Mount Sinai, if it had been, had not been faultless, had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second. So what he's saying, we should be living on a different covenant with better promises. That's what the Word of God tells us. And so God himself, he said, if it had not had been faultless, why was it faultless? Because man cannot keep that covenant. The covenant was built up on doctrine. It was on what man could do to achieve righteousness. And so now that God has did, he's given us a better promise, with better covenant, with better promises, and now it has nothing to do with us, but it has all to do with what God is doing. God says that, it's through his grace. That's what he says here. He says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. To find a fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, says the Lord, which I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Jacob. House of Israel. We are God's spiritual Israel. And so we have to know that. We are his spiritual. He said, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, according to the covenant that I made with our fathers, that was that covenant that went up on Mount Sinai. Now, according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. He said, I had to make a new covenant. I had to set up a new covenant with them. He said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Remember what we said about receiving a prophet, receiving a prophet in the name of a prophet. We should receive a prophet's reward. Remember 2 Chronicles 20:20 says that, believe in the Lord thy God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. This is what this culture of honor. This is what we're learning here. This is what we're saying. We have to begin to believe what the Word of God says. And the only way we're going to receive what God is giving us, somebody has to give it to you, and then as they show it to you, then the Holy Spirit will come along and begin to point it out. He'll point it out. He'll lay it out for you. He'll show it to you. He'll put light on it, and then you can begin to see it yourself. Now what you got? You got truth in you. And what does truth do? Truth sets you free. The truth that you know sets you free. And so now I got truth in it. So all these gifts, these fivefold minutes to get there, and we're going to be imparting to you that you can mature in the things of God for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, building up the body of Christ. And so we are imparting these things to you. And so as you hear them, what the Word of God says, Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if I hear it enough, then I can have faith for it. I got the truth on it. Now I can begin to have faith for it and begin to act on it. Let's look a little bit further here in this covenant. We're talking about covenant. We've got to get the covenant straight. We've got to get in the right covenant. This is not according to the covenant that I made with our fathers, verse 9, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. So this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Not their mind. It's not your turn to do this. He said, you don't have to learn my laws anymore. He said, I'm gonna write them in your heart. God said, I'm gonna do this. He said, I will. God said, I will write them. He said, I will put my laws in their mind up here, and I'll write them in their heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And then verse 12. He says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sin and their iniquities will I remember no more. He said, God said, I will do this. They don't have to follow the laws. They don't have to do anything. God said, I will do this. I will be merciful to their righteousness. I will remember their sins no more. So now God said, I took it out of their hands. They don't have to follow those laws anymore. They don't have to follow those do's and don'ts anymore. All they have to do is believe that I will remember their sins no more. Why? Because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. I took every sin that they ever committed. This is a covenant. God said, this is a covenant. If I had found fault, if I had not found fault with the first covenant, I would not have to give you a second covenant. So you have to understand, we've been living in the wrong covenant. Church has been trying to, that's why we try to punish people for their sins and for their wrongdoing in the church when they miss the mark and they have nowhere to go to recover themselves out of the snare of the enemy. And that's what, we're trying to get this thing lined up so a person can have a place to come that they can deliver themselves out of the snare of the enemy. Amen? And he introduces an entirely different reality based on entirely different relationship between God and mankind. He removed the need for punishment. He removed the fear from our relationship with him. Because we don't have to have fear about not keeping those do's and don'ts anymore. Remember everything that, you have to, if you didn't follow the law to the letter, then if you miss any one of the laws, then guess what? You miss out on all the blessing, all the curses would come up on you. Then, you can say, I follow. Let's turn to Matthew. Like I say, every time I begin to read scripture, God's telling us something else. It's all on him now. And it's not on us anymore. And once you begin to receive and believe that God himself is responsible for everything that we deserve and what we need, then we can live a freer life. God has set us free through Jesus Christ. We don't have to be in bondage anymore. We don't have to be concerned about whether we are condemned anymore, whether I'm sinning or not, because God said, I have already taken care of this issue for you. Matthew chapter, let's see, let's go to 18, 19. It's in the Bible. 18. Let's make it 19. Let's go 19. Matthew 19, looking at verse 17. I'll begin at verse 16. I always look at to get the context of the scripture and see what happens here. Matthew 19, looking at verse 16. He said, and behold, one came and said unto him, he said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? A young man came to him. In verse 17, and he said unto him, he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But thou wilt enter into life, he said, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt commit adultery. See, Jesus was still teaching under the law here. He was still teaching because the gospel is not the epistle. So he's still teaching the law here. But he's going to prophesy to this young man. He said, not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. He said, honor thy father, thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, he said, all these things have I kept from my youth. But he said, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou would be perfect, he said, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. And so what happened? He was saying, in his mind, he thought he had followed all the law. But whenever you think you follow all the law, there's still something else that is missing if you're trying to keep the law yourself. And so you have to keep all the law. And so, if you say, I did this, I did that, then there still may be something that you are missing. And so if you're missing that one thing, then you miss all the blessings. Jesus went on and said some other things. But then he got to verse 25. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. He said, you can't save yourself. You can't do enough following the law to gain eternal life. You can't do it yourself. He said, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, what was the question? He said, what must I do to receive eternal life? And so Jesus went on and explained to them. He said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things is possible. That's His grace. That's God saying, with me, with you trying to do it yourself, you can't do it. There's no way, because there's always going to be something else you're going to miss. But in the new covenant, see, that was the old law. They couldn't keep the old law. But when it came into this new covenant, law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, he said, by grace are you saved through faith. It's not a gift, but it is a gift of God. So God said, I give it to you. I give it to you freely. It's yours. And all you have to do is do one thing, and that's receive. Believe that I sent my son to take away all your sins, take away all your iniquities, and believe that. And then once you believe that, then you begin to receive all the things that God has provided for us. Amen. Let me read a little bit further on my note. And in 1 John 4:18, says, there is no fear in love. We covered that last week. But perfect love casts out fear. But fear has to do with punishment. Punishment, we see. And so a lot of people don't do things because they fear of being punished. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to have that perfect relationship. He wants to have a love relationship with Him. We want us to do it out of love and not out of fear that something we're going to get punished for what we're going to do. He says that fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. If we're going to lead our communities in revival and build a house for the presence of the Lord, remember, let's just turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. And this was when we started this Cultivana class, this was basically what we were talking about. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, and like I said, we have to keep this whole process that God said is always a building process. We build up on it. It says in Ephesians 2, 19, it says, Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and with the saints and of the household of God. It says, now built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the buildings fit to frame together, grow into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom we are also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Being built for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and give you glory. We honor you, Father. We honor you for what you did through Jesus for us, Father. Him taking all of our sins, taking all our iniquities. We thank you for the understanding of the new covenant, Father God, that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.